good morning to everyone. We want to thank you for your interest in Group Nutrition and your connection to results for 2015 according to the IRSF standards. We have on the table also Ignacio Gallego from the President of Nutrition, José Domingo Pedagos, Corporate Finance VP, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jimenez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation made by the CEO and the Corporate Finance Vice President about the results from the past quarter, we will comment, we'll start the Q&A. Any answers we'll receive from the webcast will be read literally. I'll give the floor to the President. Good morning. Welcome to our conference for the presentation of the results at the end of the first quarter of 2015. To start with, I'd like to go to slide number 2, where we will share with you the most significant events of the first quarter. First, we started the consolidation of the El Corral Group as of March 1st. This means that the figures that we'll see later will only include 1 month of sales and profitability for El Corral Group, a company that we acquired at the end of last year and we received actually within this first quarter. We also believe that it's interesting to tell you that we started operating with the new Delmarcus crackers and the plant in Texas with an investment approximately of $33.7 million by the Nutresa Group, significant support from the city, $4.5 million. We created 62 jobs, which will be increasing as we increase the capacity of the lines. And this is a significant advance for our expansion plans that we have in the States, mainly when we have very positive signals for this economy. Third, we'd like to share that we created Servicios Nutresa in Costa Rica. This is a sub-center of Sheriff Services, a satellite of our services in Nutresa in Colombia. This is a competitiveness initiative where we are looking to improve our support services in our Central American operations. A region that you will see later has been increasing its share in sales, in international sales of the group. Fourthly, very important because of what the group wants to say from the point of view of corporate governance and risk management, we would like to tell you that we got the ratification of the AAA ratings by Fitch Ratings. This rating is very important for us because it relates to the confidence that we generate amongst the investors. It's important to note that according to Fitch, Colombia's sovereign rate is AAA. As Alejandro was saying in the introduction, this is the first quarter report of the results for Grupo Nutresa according to the IFRS. And to expand this point, I'll give the floor to José Domingo Penagos, our Corporate Finance VP. Go ahead. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning to all. As we mentioned earlier, as you could see during the weekend, we reported our first financial standards according to international financial reporting standards. We would like to show you this conference. We would like to tell you mainly the most significant impacts both in the P&L and the balance sheet that we believe are very lower. And secondly, we would like to tell you that we've designed a mechanism, basic mechanism, to respond to any questions that you might have so that these analyses and updates can be done for your valuation models. In this conference, we'd like to focus mainly on the most relevant aspects from the performance of our business point of view in the various markets during the first quarter. The mechanism is very simple. We're going to receive your questions individually through our Investor Relations office, and directly with Alejandro Jimenez. We will answer them individually in emails. We will publish the answers or the questions that we receive so that the entire investor public can see the answers and can create a sort of question and answer basis. This is very similar to the frequently asked questions system. So this is the mechanism, and we will activate it as soon as we finish this conference. To tell you about the numbers, I'd like you to go to slide number 3. These are the impact on the balance sheet. As you can see here, on the balance sheet, starting balance sheet is 4%, a decrease of 4% in equity. And we believe, from what we, it's very much below the entire benchmark of the various companies in the sector and the Colombian companies. This is basically due to the fact that Grupo Nutresa was adopted, since it was obvious that we were going to be using the international standards, it adopted some standards early, mainly the value of its assets. We have it at the market value, and very recent assessments we've had it for many years. And this is the reason why we have a very little impact. So in the slide, you'll see the main differences in this equity. And the first one is the adjustment through to the valuation of a property, plant, and equipment. And in this adjustment, we find that the fixed assets are recorded at market value, and therefore, according to the IFRS, according to the new valuations, we have approximately 105 million pesos. In addition, this has an impact of 1.24% higher for the balance sheet. We also find that in the liabilities, we have the present value of the benefits for the employees, premiums and seniority bonuses, and the bonus bank for our variable compensation system. This has an effect of 160 million pesos, a decrease of 2.2% over the equity. And the third impact is in the deferred tax accounts. This results from the differences in the valuations of the accounting assets and liability. Vis-a-vis the tax valuation, these differences will give us more or less accounting profits, and which will not have the same accounting effects. In this case, the impact is 211 million pesos, minus 2.9%, and we have other minor adjustments of less than 0.4%. So these four main differences explain that adjustment of 4% of the equity, which we believe is very low for the standards of the application of international standards. This with respect to the balance sheet. Now let's go to the slide number 4, the differences with the P&L. The operating part in the EBITDA and the net profits for the operations. If we look at the slide, the EBITDA with which we finished in 2014 was 219,000 million pesos. According to the new standards, it's 237 million pesos. It's a difference of 18,040,000 pesos more. This is explained due to the management that we did with the provisions that are not appropriate under the IRS. These are marketing expenses and train, labor compensations according to the advertising campaigns as we've been planning it with the seasonality that the year has. These expenses are not provisions. They are recognized at the time when they are incurred. So this gives us a variation of around 19 million pesos for 2014 and other minor adjustments of close to 992 million pesos. So this is, we have the difference from the operating area. It's 18,040,000 pesos. The net profits, this goes up to 159,400. The difference is 73,000 million pesos. Let's take it from the bottom up. And the first calculations is based on what we just viewed. is the provisions of 19,032 million pesos is exactly the same thing. We have that included in the EBITDA. And we have two effects. The first one is the new amortization of mercantile credit. These mercantile credits used to be amortized according to international reporting standards. This is no longer amortized. So we have a higher value for the provisions that are not appropriate under IRS. We have amortization of mercantile credits. We don't have that expense then anymore. And we also have the dividends from the portfolio. Remember that the portfolio dividends, now according to IRS, are recorded in the statement of results as when they are decreed. Previously was with every quarterly payment. So we have 33,700 million pesos more due to the portfolio dividends. These three adjustments explain then basically because we have others, minor ones for 1,000 million pesos. These explain the difference in the net profits that we have for the adoption during the first semester of the International Financial Reporting Standards. As you can see, we believe that the effects are lower, the significant explanatory tools are at your disposal in the web page, and we believe that this mechanism we have designed, you can see this through the links that you find in the presentation, you will have access to all the information in that you will ask in the first few days after we adopted the standards. So I'll give you the floor to Carlos and as you continue with the presentation. So as we said, these significant events in the quarter, and I'd like us to go to slide number 5 so that we can see the performance of this first quarter. I'd like to start by saying that we had a very good quarter in the commercial side. In Colombia, we had sales for 1,080,000,000 with a growth of 13.2%. Of those sales, 1,049,000,000 were organic. Those do not include the purchase of El Corral Group with a growth of 9.6%, which is even higher as what we had shown at the end of the year. Remember that the Group Nutrisa closed the end of the year with a growth of 8.6%. When we look at the graph, we see that in all categories where we participate are growing, and four of them are growing above 10%. When in the lower part of the graph, you see how much of that growth comes from volume and what from price. Before we go into the details, I would like to say that because of the strategy, we had decided in the previous closing conference at the end of the year, quarter before that, that we probably use the price variable, but very carefully try to handle the prices very carefully so that we could have the best results to get some market share. To get market share, we did that at the end of the quarter, and that's why the increase in prices, the weighted price is only 3.5%, which is below inflation. This means that during the first months, you'll see better the effect of these prices. So we grew, as I said, organically 9.6, and that 9.6 comes from by volume. It's still a very sound growth and a price increase of 3.5. In the meat products, we grew 10.2, and confectionery 10.2, and chocolates 10.5, and coffee 3.8, with a significant recovery. In ice cream, we grew 7.4. I like to add that in ice creams, and that is the category where we've manipulated the prices the least, and that's because of strategic reasons. In others, we grew with 11.4, and then we have 84,000 million pesos. This is for the first month of the consolidation in Colombia of the El Corral Group. So this is a very, very good quarter in Colombia. Internationally, the international sales represented 36.9% of the total sales for the group. It closed at $256 million. this amount in dollars is less than the previous year by 9%. But we must say that includes the effect of consolidating Venezuela, and that we have also mentioned that earlier from since last year. We told you that we would always consolidate Venezuela at the most representative market rate. And this is means that, for example, that in March we consolidated 191.95 bolivars per dollar. If we exclude Venezuela, we would be growing at 3.9% in dollars. When we took into consideration the devaluation in Colombia, the international sales expressed in Colombian pesos grew 12%. Looking at that by business, meat goes up about 66%, which completely because of the shrimp Venezuela that we mentioned, and cookies we grew 3.4%, chocolate 7.3%, coffee 3.1%. So the slight decrease of 0.6% in the Monte Lucrative grows at 13.8%, and in consumer foods, because we have included here also the ice cream parlors in Central America and the Caribbean, we have 7.2%. If we eliminate the Venezuela from the analysis, where this is a very transparency, we see perfectly happy because it's what is appropriate for the Nutresa Group. It was very good in the international quarter. As you can see, the item number 6, when we look at our international sales growing at 13.2% and international growing at 12%, we closed with an excellent performance in our sales. It's a quarter where we grew 12.8% with sales of 1,717,000,000. Most of our businesses grew at a double-digit rate, except the meat products, which decreases by 5.5%, but if we exclude Venezuela, it grows at 11.3%. Ice cream, it doesn't grow double digits. It has a significant volume increase, but as I mentioned in the previous exercise, it's a business where we have not touched prices yet. These sales are leveraged on a significant innovation. In fact, 17.9% of the total sales come from innovation. It's also supported by the efforts in developing channels that we've been carrying out and some sound marketing strategy. So as I said earlier, it's a very good quarter from the point of view of the commercial side. If we look at slide number 7, we have the sales by region of for the first quarter of 2015. We see a significant growth in local currencies that become even bigger when we calculate their equivalent in Colombian pesos. A significant fact is that in the first quarter, Central America, the growth of 38% becomes the second region in sales, and the U.S. with a growth of 34.5% is number 3. This behavior of our international sales exceeds by far the effect of the consolidating Venezuela at the Vimaria rate, and it gives us a growth of 12% that I mentioned earlier. So you can see that this amount of 63.1% is what the Colombian weighs on the Colombian sales, and we have 36.9% international sales. Venezuela, on the other hand, it was 1.8% of the sales, is totally controlled, and we believe with the measures that we took from last year of confronting that with the reality of the market, is not only a major risk, but rather an opportunity for the future in of Nutresa. Going to slide number 8, you can see the market participation, market share to consolidate all the categories where we participate in Colombia. We have good news again. Weight share of 60.8%, percent growing 0.6%, vis-a-vis the same quarter last year. So in the cold cuts, we got 73.4% with a growth of 0.6%, and biscuits 55.3% with a growth of 0.7%. In chocolates, we have a slight decrease of 0.6%. We are at 76.3%, and table chocolates, it's with the modifiers, is 25.2%. It decreased by 1.7%, and nuts, which has had significant growth, we got to 81%, and we grew 3.9%. In coffee, roast and ground, we grew 4.5%, and we got 56%. And in soluble coffee, we have 41.6, growing 0.04. And TRLC, we decreased 0.7. In pasta, we decreased 20.9. In coffees, we got the decrease of 5.1. And in potato chips, there's an entire potato chips category. In Mexico, in instant cold drinks, 28.6, we decreased by 0.01. In ice cream, there's no reliable measurement as of yet. That's why we're not reporting it. We're looking at different alternatives. In pasta, we got 52.6, increasing 1.5. In retail food, we don't have any measures yet, but we are number one in burgers in Colombia and number one in ice cream parlors in the Dominican Republic in Costa Rica. So this is not only in terms of sales, but rather market share. We have had a significant growth. Let's go to take a look at costs. In slide number 9, you can see on the left of the graph the Nutresa, Grupo Nutresa Commodities Index. This is built based on the inputs and the categories that we participate. We identify those who wanted to look at the technical sheets. You can do so, but our index shows a decrease in average prices of most of the commodities of reference. This is a favorable trend that compensates in part because of the valuation cancels out a significant part of this positive effect. As I said, the price strategies were applied at the end of the quarter, and that is why that higher price in some of the inputs has affected the gross margin in some of the businesses. This trend, we hope we can compensate in the future. This does not include El Corral Group. This is only the categories of mass consumption. So you can see significantly no input has more than 12.4% weight. Those are the packaging materials, which is most expensive, with 4.4% of the cost. Then pork is 8.5%, and wheat is 6.8%. This is a market, different commodities in the market mix. Grupo Nutresa has a sort of a natural hedge, and our exposure at the end is managed with futures inventories managed very professionally and with great care, so that the Grupo Nutresa has the least possible adverse effects. So we have a favorable outlook because of the commodities, but because of the rate of exchange, that variation, very favorable variation, is offset by the prices, by the rate of exchange. After looking at a very good performance and a relatively stable outlook for the commodities, I'd like to invite José Domingo Penagos to tell you how the profitability for the first quarter performed. So we, in slide number 10, we have the EBITDA for the first quarter for the group. You can see how we had an EBITDA of 234.7 billion pesos. The margin is 30.7. It's on the upper part of the range that we define for the group, with a decrease of 1% in the absolute value. This decrease is due mainly to the higher price of raw materials in Colombian pesos, the effect of the rate of exchange on those raw materials that was explained earlier in the commodity section. There was a significant increase, but it's in looking in the same range within the last few months. That and the strategy for innovation and productivity of the group has enabled us to maintain these profitability levels, and we hope you can see them in the medium term. This is in general. When we look at each of the businesses, we should like to highlight the cold cuts, coffees, coffees and consumer, which is in the upper part of the range, and in pasta is very significant because it has a very good commercial dynamic. Remember, when that is positive in the business, it you can dilute their fixed costs, and it's part of the range defined by the group. Let's talk about each of the businesses very shortly. In the cold cuts, the effect on profitability places in the middle of the range. This is mainly due to the imports of raw materials, which is mainly local business, but it's in Panama and Venezuela, but it's the core of the business is in Colombia, and it has a greater impact. The issue of the rate of exchange affects the results. You can see that how the profitability is 13.3%, growing. Each one of the businesses that has best balance between national and international in the group, so all this international revenue come with the rate of exchange and helps a lot to have this good dynamics from the point of view of profitability. The checkout business is affected by the price of cocoa. It's the highest price for this commodity, and the rate of exchange adds to that. That is why it has an 11.1% margin, and that's a decrease of 8.3. Coffee has a very good dynamics from the point of view of profitability. Margin is 21.8%, and it has a decrease compared to last year because of the difference in raw materials at the time. But coffee is also a very, very export-dependent business. And the rate of exchange helps those exports, and it has a very significant performance. I would like to have the Entremonte look at it. We are have some brownies in Mexico and Chile, and this represents a little bit more expenses. That 11.3%, the effect of those is close to 1.2 points. The margin would be at 12.4% without brownfields. Ice cream is 13.8, somewhat affected by raw materials, but the effect of raw materials of dairy products and is due to mainly the rains. We explained that in the commercial part. The rain has impacted the sales of the business, so that it is below the previous years, but still very much higher or in the upper range undefined by the group. But we already mentioned pastas and other food. We had very good performance. We do not have the impact of the El Corral, and we have a margin of 17.4%. Very significant, very higher even than the proposed goal. That's part of the profitability, the operations. Let's go to slide number 11. We have this consolidated statement of results for this quarter. This is 2015, reconverted to the IFS, two sections, the operations. In the operative section, you see a sound increase in sales, but with a higher increase in cost. This is mainly due to the effect of the dollar on some raw materials. You can see that's 12.8%, it's a 16% in cost. We have an effect margin of 1.6 points below. Looking at the general expenses, they're growing less in pesos. That's good from the point of view of efficiency. They do not completely offset the effect of the cost of goods sold. So those margins decreased compared to last year. We should remember that that increase in the difference between the increase in cost and increase in revenue is because during the first quarter, we do not include the effect of the price increases. This was done in March, and this first quarter does not reflect the entire impact. We hope that by the next or the rest of the year, we can have a significant the reflection of those price increases. Second, we have the post-operative effects. Before mentioning the post-operative effects, I'd like to emphasize on an account that we start to see in our statement of results, the result of the RFS is the difference in net exchange operating at. It will reflect the rate of exchange effect on income and expenses. In operations, we'll see you view of the post-operative, which will have a significant effect of the rate of exchange. In the post-operative block, we have here's the that with a greater leverage beginning of February because of the purchase of El Corral. You see that the most operatives begin at 678 million pesos. The difference is the financial expenses that have those at 10 billion pesos in difference and 4 billion pesos, which were much less last year. Another significant event that we begin to see this year, but we have not reconverted 2014, is the portfolio dividends. We have the 46,400,000 billion pesos, and the increase is because of the increase that was decreed during the different general assemblies. I already mentioned that we also have a new account. It's very much similar to last year in terms of last year in the net operating rate of exchange difference. This is the effect of the on all activities of the group, the debt, which is very low right now. We'll see that in dollars. You'll see also the effect of the rate of exchange difference. Now we have the taxes and the income tax. You should consider that the portfolio dividends, they are not an income. So the difference between one year and the next is explained basically because of the when we find this affects both operating and post-operating effect, we have a net profit of 151 million pesos with a decrease of 4.6% compared to the same period last year. This with the statement of results for the first quarter. And lastly, slide number two speaks about debt. We had debt of 12.7 billion pesos. This is because we took some debt with the financial sector to purchase the El Corral Group. We have an indicator of 3.21 times. This, again, includes the debt for the El Corral, but still not include the entire performance for El Corral during the year, only 1 month. So if we have calculated all these figures, Grupo El Corral, 12 months, and we have 12.98 times net debt to EBITDA. The fourth quarter was 195,000 pesos, million pesos, which 0.15%. We got it through the banking market with the conditions that are very good terms, with the terms of the interest rate and terms of payment. This is the end of the profitability profit. I'll give the floor again to Jose Ignacio so that he can share with you the outlook for 2015 and then go to the Q&A. If we look at this from the point of view of the macroeconomy, the impact that we had in the major economy, geographies we work, both in Central America and Peru, Mexico, Chile, and Colombia, plus the U.S., are all geographies where we expect to have positive growth, positive movements in the economy of those countries. Perhaps with the exception of the States, the growth in the other regions will be slightly lower than the previous year, but that will allow us to that dynamic, combined with the efforts that we're making from the commercial point of view, which are innovation, child development, and various marketing strategies. This allows us to anticipate a good behavior. We expect a very good behavior in Colombia and overseas. From the point of view of cost, as I said, we don't see any adverse effects. There will be relative stability, and the combination of this commercial dynamics of the beginning of the effects of the price strategy will help us. We'll say that the Grupo Nutresa expects in the future to be to remain in that EBITDA range that we have established as a goal for 2020, that to maintain an EBITDA always between 12% and 14%, with good growth and with relative cost stability. We have a positive outlook, and we are also, as I mentioned, just about to consolidate El Corral completely, something that we received, and it has an excellent team with whom we've been progressing very well. There is a positive outlook for the future, both commercially as well as to achieve our profitability goals. So this will close the report about the first quarter of 2015, and I think we can go to the Q&A. We will now proceed with the question and answers. Please push an asterisk and number one if you want to ask a question. If you want to leave the quick queue or have press asterisk. First question has to do with the expected profitability in 2015. According to José Domingo's explanation, I understand that the impact of the IFRS is relatively marginal. What happens at the end is that there are some seasonality in the EBITDA margin that you are going to begin to report, but in yearly terms, we would be seeing the same margins when compared 2014 with the Colombian GAAP IFRS. Seeing the profitability levels year to year, we could assume at the end of the year we would be in the lower range of the profitability, 12 to 14%. I think that is the vision that you have for this year, or do you think that with the price increases you're going to have be successful in offsetting the effects of the rate of exchange? Thank you for your question. As I said earlier, the strategy that we had to increase the prices was only, they started, the new prices begin at the end of the quarter, so we haven't seen a full effect of the strategy. In cost, we also said that we expect relative stability. According to the history of Grupo Nutresa, and we would not give you an exact figure. That's why we believe that ramification is what I mentioned earlier, that we're going to remain in that quarter, but we don't want to give you an exact number because it would be we guarantee that with good commercial strategy, a good pricing strategy, and with the consolidation of businesses that have made the margin higher than the group average, we are in a good position to provide good profitability for the investors. And with respect to this price increase, have you seen any impact in terms of volume? Because volumes for this quarter were very high, but I understand also the price increase came at, there was the end. Now that we have a couple of months of the second quarter, what have you seen as a reaction to the market? Yes, that is a very good question. And first of all, the reaction of the volumes doesn't depend only on what we do, but you also have to consider many other factors. The country's inflation, the size of the growth of income for the consumers. So you have to go to each reference and look at what are the elasticity price-demand curves. When you touch the price, it's normal. There will be some effect on demand, and that is why we have to rely on the power of the brands and the activity of the competitors. But without going into figures, it's normal. When you touch the price, there will be some effect. What do we have to support that? The power of the brands, the power of the distribution and innovation, so that our products can be more valued. We think that we have a very significant growth in terms of volume, and that is why the proper time, when it's very, very good to modify those prices responsibly. They are not increases which are not the same by regions or by channels or categories. There are some categories where we have intervened and some we haven't. So we're very, very careful by trying to get our profits to the highest level we want without affecting to the volumes too much. But it is obvious that there will be some effect on volumes. But so far it's very good. Thank you, Andres. Good morning from Citigroup, Seki Matsumoto. You mentioned for Tres Montes that the sales grew 12% in Chilean pesos, but at the same time, I believe that the market share was slightly weak. Do you think that the category of Tres Montes decreased a lot? And I want to understand what were the reasons for this positive performance. Yes, thank you. So you were first, I'd like to tell you that when we speak about Tres Montes Lucchetti as a business, slide number 5 includes operations in Chile and operations in Mexico and also some operations that are international. So when we speak, it's going 12.8 in pesos chilenos, it's entire Tres Montes Lucchetti. And as Jose Domingo mentioned in the explanation of profitability, remember that we have two very important brownfields, one in Mexico and Guadalajara, which we began into the pasta category in Mexico, and another one in Chile, where we're just beginning to have some sales from baked snacks and cookies. So this growth has to do with the income. But as is normal in these brownfields, usually there's expenses and the marketing expenses. You see sales, but the EBITDA is not reflected immediately. It's totally planned, and that's why you said that, the EBITDA that we recorded for Chesmonte is around 1% less than what it would be if you didn't have these brownfields. So we feel, you know, making a general comment, we're very, very happy with what we've been doing. This is a task where we got the business last year. We received that. We've been capturing synergies. Right now, with these two brownfields, we are in categories where Tres Montes in that region is was not there, not present, and we've been preparing ourselves internally so that it will be support for the Nutresa group for growth, especially in Chile and in Mexico. So the explanation is that Tres Montes, look at that, includes activities in Chile, Mexico, and international, and that is why the figure cannot be interpreted just as Chile. As any business internally, it has some categories that are stronger than others, but we did not go into details because for the evaluation models, we believe that the information to provide is enough, and there will be too many details to provide information to the competition that could be used against us. Thank you. We have a question from our webcast. The question is by Carlos Enrique Rodriguez from Secor Capital. I read, what is the EBITDA margin of El Corral and the Ice Caponers by separately, keeping into the account of the IRFS for the next quarter? The figure is going to be zero. And the third, could you detail the tax on equity, and did you pay it during the second quarter, and what is the accounting method? Thank you, Carlos and Victor, for the three questions. I'm going to answer them in the same order. The EBITDA margin for El Corral and for the Ice Caponers. As we said, a few years ago, we had the intention of setting up an entire unit for consumer foods, and we're going to report that. That's it. This is being handled by Juan Dusan Retail Foods, and what we're going to have to share with you is the profits and the profitability of this unit. This is a unit that has the same purpose and has the same categories. What they have now is different products in three geographies, Colombia, Dominican Republic, and Costa Rica. El Corral is also present in other countries, in addition to Colombia. And this is the reasoning to report retail foods as a whole and not separately for these three acquisitions. With respect to the second question, the IFS for the next quarters, the number is going to be zero? No. The response is yes. The answer is yes. The reason is that they're recorded as discounted at the beginning when they are decreed. We decreed in March. This is the first quarter, and we will not have the revenue due to the portfolio dividends for the next for the following quarters. And the last question was about the tax on equity, and you're asking whether we paid it in the second quarter and the accounting method. During the first conference this year, we told you that we were going to record that equity tax against equity. This was done during the first quarter of the year, not during the second. And that is the way to account for it. It's charged against equity. You can see it in the equity attachment. It was caused in the first one and it is paid during the second quarter. So that is the way we dealt with that tax this year. Any further questions to the teleconference? Good morning. Thank you for the call. I'm calling from the bank, BWA. compared to the history of Nutresa, this indicator is somewhat high. I believe that you could limit your capability for future acquisitions if you're intending to do any during this year. How do you feel with this debt level, and what are your future plans? Do you expect to decrease that level? And the other one is about the prices and the amount of sales, international sales. How can you give us how much, how they behave during... Let me give you an answer about the first question, and Carlos Ignacio will answer the second. About the debt level, what you say is true. Historically, we saw in the graph earlier, we have come from levels of 0.5 times after a couple of years now to 2.98 present. What have we... this buy power, this is, we use that for the acquisitions, Tremonte Lucchetti, El Corral, and using the cash. The cash is a little cyclical, is more towards the end for the first quarter than the second, and that is why we came to this top level. We have not changed our rating. The rating agency has hasn't reviewed the indicator yet. And for new acquisitions, what we could say is the following. We're very much focused with the acquisitions we did in the last couple of years. We're very much focused on integrating the two acquisitions, Tresmontes Lucchetti and El Corral, which were two new business units for the group. So we are very much focused on those integrations in all the group strategy for the few following months. However, we're still active, and we remind you that an acquisition, that if we find it, we will have an equivalent funding strategy, although we are getting to levels where we still feel comfortable, but the limits we have established for ourselves, we can continue with the activities after we integrate these activities. And every acquisition will bring its own funding strategy. We've used it in the past. If they are worth it, we'll do it. We will continue to look out for investments, but or for acquisitions, but be very careful about it. About the second question, Edgar, I'd like to say that during this conference, we do not go into details about disclosing the PQ of international sales. The first reason is that the rate of exchange it makes it much more complex to do the analysis, and we give you some numbers that won't provide any useful information for making decisions. What I can tell you is that in every geography where Grupo Nutresa is present, one of the targets is that the products are affordable for the consumer. So we're constantly monitoring what their revenue is, what the revenue is used for, the consumer's income is used for, what is the competition, the strength of our brands, and to have that demand elasticity curve for each reference. And we manage the prices responsibly. Well, we don't lose affordability, but as far as the price allows, which is one of the most important marketing variables, we want to have that price at an appropriate level and helps us achieve our profitability. That's what we do not have. We don't do that international price, but we do manage that as carefully and as professionally as we do it for Colombia.
And we have a question from Luca Tupia. Please go ahead. Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. Just a follow-up on the acquisition. Just maybe if you can clarify whether if opportunities come up, are you still more focusing on domestic market opportunities, maybe in the QSR segment, or rather, I remember in the past you were discussing quite a bit the opportunities in Mexico. Whether it's acquisition or organic growth, maybe if you can expand a bit on the strategy in Mexico, your prospects for that market, how ambitious you are in terms of gaining a scale that would be meaningful rather whether through acquisition or just organic expansion. That would be my question.
It is not necessary for you to translate the question into English. It will be taken directly in English by the speakers, and they will answer in Spanish with translation into English through this medium. You might like to repeat the question in English so I can hear it directly in English too. Thank you.
Luca, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Luca. First of all, about the inorganic growth strategies such like José Domingo mentioned earlier, this year the emphasis is placed on completing the integration of the last two major acquisitions we made, that's Monte Lucchetti and the El Corral Group. But in spite of the fact that we're focused on that, we do not close our doors to, looking at actively studying other opportunities. In general, Grupo Nutresa seeks inorganic growth in regions where there is a significant market, where there are categories that have high rates of growth, and where we can apply our capabilities or associate ourselves with companies that can provide those capabilities that we need. Clarifying that we only go to those geographies where we have respect for private property and free enterprise, because in Grupo Nutresa, we do not choose geographies or countries. We do not go to geographies where we have very cheap opportunities for acquisition, but with major doubts, because this is an extreme, different risk management and investment philosophy. What we've declared about our preferences for growth, inorganic growth, has been that we go to focus on Chile, Peru, Colombia, Mexico, and the U.S., and that we're also looking actively at Southeast Asia. And with respect to categories, we have a significant spread of categories, and what we see is that every opportunity goes through a filter, and we assign the resources trying to get the highest return for the shareholders in the future. As you might understand, I cannot give you more details, and that we will disclose it as we come to specific decisions and informing the control bodies in the countries where we act. About Mexico, obviously, going to the second question, Mexico is in the picture we showed, in the slide we showed you, slide 7, is 3.8% of our sales currently. Now, we are into chocolate, instant drinks, and we're going into pastas with the new Guadalajara factory. We're producing also locally powdered instant drinks. Mexico is a country that has a significant population with some growth variable for the economy of Mexico. I think that Mexico is one of the Latin American countries that has made very significant decisions about it being a country where private activity can be performed expeditiously. And what we've seen is that this year Mexico should be growing as a country at around 3% in a very positive way because of the activities we have. We have a significant distribution network, and where we believe that additional categories, so the ones that we have, can obviously work. We have very powerful competitors over there, but because of the size of the country and the opportunity that we have, we can gain much more than what we might have at risk. With respect to the organic group, it's always a significant objective to grow organically. And as I said earlier, the most important leverage is to develop organically our innovation, channel development, and in the retail foods, opening new stores also helps develop the organic one. Those are the answers to the three questions. We hope that they all together will help us to, the rest of the year will be very good, good dynamics, and those volumes will be accompanied by the profits in the range we desire. thank you for your presentation. My questions have to do with working capital. I see the operational cash flow was negative during this quarter. I might say that it could be due to higher payments to suppliers. What is changing in those markets that you have to pay faster? Is my interpretation correct? According to that, the tax on wealth, would that affect that cash flow for the operations in the second quarter? Would that be reported elsewhere? What would be the working capital invested to you so that Grupo Nutresa can operate comfortably? The current one or the one that you reported last year or the RFS, or whatever, can you tell us about it? And the third question is the growth rate of the food sector. Do you still hold to the 15% growth by 2020? What is it currently? The question is about working capital as a whole, and I'll answer that in the second part about profitability. Working capital is if you calculate the turnover, the supplies at the first quarter of 2020 is, of course, about 26 days in 2014, and 2014 was about 29 days. We're not paying slower. The first is that there is a significant first use of cash in the first quarter. 420,000 million pesos last year, 170. You know, that cash flow has been used basically to acquire El Corral, and from what I said earlier somewhere on the conference, to meet the cyclic payments of taxes and tax labor obligations. Where we've had an increase in, that was last year, and that's what we're working on heavily, is in the level of inventories. Our inventories was 84, 87 days, and we've been getting some stocks for some raw materials for which we cover our physicals. That helps with profitability, but it has an effect on working capital. Our receivables is still very healthy, around 25, 36 days. So our effect on working capital right now is more of a cash flow and in an increase in temporary increase in inventory. About the profitability, we still have a goal of reaching 15% Oregon 2015. It's a very major challenge. We are close to 9% of the rate in the first quarter because we included the acquisition of El Corral. During the short term, when we buy, the cost of capital is difficult to get, but in the medium and long term, as you can see, we've shown you examples of which the cold cuts, it's a product of several acquisitions, and which have very similar rates right now. To explain to you, we can tell you that the cold cut is about approximately 20% right. So it's the effect is real. It's due to the acquisitions, close to 9%, but we believe that we're going to get to that goal to be at 15% by 2020. Thank you very much. We still have 6 minutes of conference for your questions. Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Simple. As I understood, slide 9, the composition of cost does not include the recent acquisition of El Corral. What would be the main impact on raw materials that you have been consolidating in for the first or second quarter of this year for the El Corral? Yes, I'll be glad to hide on in general, the biggest change would be the fact that the network, the Corral Group, the greatest activity has to do with the hamburgers. So beef should go up. It's not audited, but yet. It should go up about 2%. And that would be the main change. You sell some inputs, such as drinks, for example, that are purchased, you simply transfer. But with the commodities, the main change is that beef will be more significant. That's why it's an input that is going to be that important. We've been working on several strategies, including having a greater domestic supply of beef, which we use our exposure to rate of exchange. But there are no major changes, and we expect the next quarter to be able to include El Corral in our pie of costs. That is the effect. Also, the graph shows that the commodities index has gone down significantly in this quarter compared to the average for 2014, but you're also saying that the rate of exchange, if you look at the last month, month and a half, the valuation has also increased in the Colombian market. So how do you see the second quarter? Do you think that margin for the first quarter could be maintained, or whether the recent devaluation and rate of exchange, which has been significant, could that erode our margins for the next quarter in spite of the consolidation of the Corral? Would the devaluation offset the positive impact of the consolidation of all the 3 months of the Corral Group? Yes, that's very similar question to what we answered for Andres, and the answer is we, based on the analysis that we get from the various economists that we have in this medium, we see that the rate of exchange would be around the range of 2,400 and 2,600 pesos, really volatile. That is the outlook for the rate. As we said, there are different strategies to hedge our commodities, and I was telling you that we still need to see the results of the group, see the effect of pricing changes. What we can tell you in the same along the same lines, that we can remain within this range that we want for profitability, and going to more specific details is very complex, but as you can see, the answer depends on the individual behavior of each commodity plus the rate of exchange and crossing that with the growth of the category. So we think that the most adequate thing right now is to say that we're going to be remaining in that range. Thank you very much. We have time for one more question. Thank you for the conference. Most of the questions that I have been answered, but one last would be in the pasta business. I see that you are reporting exports out of Colombia. Is that a new strategy? Starting to export pasta in other regions, or were that some products that you took to Mexico to start preparing the ground? No, thank you for your question, Francisco. Let me give you some ideas. The figure that you have for pasta exports is very small, but the rate of exchange, we usually speak about the risk or the negative effects of the rate of exchange, but the rate of exchange also has a positive side, and the fact is that it gives businesses in countries where we have devaluation, an additional layer and a greater competitiveness, and allows them to access other markets. In this case, specifically, it's not a matter of export to Mexico, it's other markets where we were reaching there, and now we can have access to those markets. It's a very small figure, but it's an example of competitiveness that increases, and I mentioned that earlier, perhaps, that our work has to be mitigate the negative effects of those trade changes, and to leverage the positive effects of the greater competitiveness of the exports, combined with productivity and the help of those rates of exchange. So, thank you for the question, Francisco, that allowed me to expand on that. So, the percent of use of pasta in Colombia is that? We don't usually disclose the capacity for business, but capacity is not a limitation. Where we find the opportunities, we will take advantage. And right now, we have available capacity. And if we can find those opportunities, we'll use them to benefit the organization to produce more profits and more sales. Thank you. This concludes the conference for results for the first quarter. Thank you all for your interest in connecting to this conference. And although the conference ends here, the contact through the Investors Relations Office, you know, can contact us through mail or through telephone about the implementation of the IFRS standards or the results. Thank you very much.